This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Sabres Live is presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
55 seconds to go in the power play. Left wing boards pass on top. One takes on. They score! That's Kulik! Get the perfect pass of Rusek. One-timer low inside the back post. And the Amherst take the lead.
Play to the corner by Pionk. Circling that second up. Harley! Score! Series over!
Up the head, Rodriguez. Gets it across. Seth Jones walks in. Scores! Seth Jones breaks the ice. Back to Marchand. That one off. Wall in front scores! Anton Lundell! And Florida leads by two. Spitzing 6-1, leading the win. And the defending Stanley Cup champions move on to the Eastern Conference Final. And the song remains the same here in Toronto.
Fraser, watched by Barnable, spins. One hand between the legs! I'm out! I'm not calling any more games because Chase Fraser just broke my mind. 3 seconds! 2 seconds! Fraser! Blocked by Garland! Game three coming! What a sacrifice by holding Garland!
So close for the Bandits to a seventh NLL title. They've got to wait and try to nail it down in the third and final game that happens in Banditland Saturday afternoon at 4:30. It was almost a near perfect sports weekend, save for that miss in Saskatoon by the Bandits. Because, of course, on Friday, the Amherst got even in their series. We know what happened in the NHL over the course of the weekend, which has now just four teams remaining, Florida and Carolina, Edmonton and Dallas, as the conference finals begin tomorrow, Marty. Ooh, big exhale here to start the week.
Big exhale. It was a huge game two by the Rochester Americans and it's tight. It's a very tight series, and you know they bounce back and forth. And Cale Clegg with another goal. I predicted it Friday on the show. You asked me.
You said the odds were like plus two something that he was going to do it in five straight. Is that right?
I'm like, no, I don't remember what I said the odds would be, but I said, he'll get it done. Five straight, let's go, Cale Clegg. And he did, and he got it started, right? A big blast from the point again. And, you know, Rochester had to really bounce back a couple of times where Laval takes it, and then it's Rochester. Yuri Kulik ends up with a goal as well. So it was a good battle. I'm looking forward to game three. This is two teams that kind of can score in bunches and have some moments of good defensive play, although the scores have not, you know, been kind to the defense side of the game. But I'm really excited for what game three is going to bring in Laval, and four and maybe five. We'll see how it goes.
Wednesday, Friday, Sunday, the resumption of this series. And obviously right now it's even at one. So the Amerks are heading to Laval now. And we'll
couple
dive
days
in
early. I like that, Duffer. Usually, like, you would leave the day before, but no, let's go today.
No. They never, never go to Canada the day before. They always take an extra day.
So. Not in the playoffs, yes. But I'm just saying, like, regular season, usually you go the day before and whatnot. So now, you know what? You go now. You set up today. Tomorrow, you have a practice day in Laval. Wednesday is a game. Thursday, practice day. Friday, game. And then we see for Sunday.
All right. Well, I was starting on Bennett's, but we seem to be in Amerks mode, so I'll stay in Amerks mode here. So let's focus on how they were able to win 5-3. It was... Well, to tell you what, I don't want to muddy the waters. We didn't discuss this ahead of time. They led 1-0. They led 2-1. They were down 3-2. They win the game 5-3.
Yes.
What was your takeaway from Friday night? Who was your takeaway from Friday night?
Oh, my takeaway from Friday night, I'm going to say Zach Rozan. And it's easy to say he had the 3 points, right? He had 2 goals and 1 assist. But it's the way that he played, right? He gets the empty net goal. He got the goal that made it 2-1 in the first. We've seen Isaac Rozan in Buffalo, and it never really caught any fire, right? And that maybe it's where he's playing and the ice time that he's getting. But at the AHL level, he's one of those really good quality players in all different aspects of it. I thought that was good. And because we just showed the highlight, Lucas Rusek with his goal to make it 3-3 late, very late in the second, I feel like that was a standout moment for Rusek to be able to get that goal. So those are the two players that I would say that stood out to me.
Well, with all due respect, because Rusek doesn't shoot and therefore doesn't score as much as what people would think,
yes,
his pass on the game-winning goal was actually all world.
Yes.
So it ends up being, for me, he was by far the best player in the game. The interesting component to that is, as we discussed on Friday, even though Rozan and Kulik had been on the score sheet in game one, Noah Osland went up to play with them in game one. For me, it seemed to spark them.
Yep.
So my focus on Friday was, what's this going to be like with the three of them starting a game together? It was really good. Osland's playoffs right now, again, for those not paying attention, will look perhaps quiet based on how his offensive production was from January on. Osland, to me, was 1A to Rusek being the best player in the game for the Amerks. He should have had 3 assists within the first half of the game, missed breakaway opportunities, missed power play opportunities by the finishers in those situations that Osland had set up. He played with Kulik and Rozan, who looked better.
Yep.
Until the 40th minute of the game. There was an offensive zone faceoff. Coach Leone decides to put Rusek out there with Kulik and Rozan. Less than 10 seconds later, a diving Rusek bats it in.
Back of the net.
Ties the game.
Yes.
They start the third period together. What you're not reading or seeing in all of this, which was an incredibly impactful third period, Rusek, Kulik, Rozan, was then the responsibility that fell on Osland. He centered 2 different lines as the game went on. And I... veterans in Jobson Murray, youngsters in Wahlberg and Kozak, I believe. But regardless, it was more just his presence. I thought every time you saw the Amerks going up the ice, you're like, well, how did this play start? And if it wasn't a direct pass from Osland, it was him being in a position to like set picks to create the offensive outlet. He was absolutely sensational, in my opinion. And so this is what you're getting right now through 2 games, but more than that, like basically through the first 5 games of the postseason, is what you hoped for from the top guys, because the scoring leaders outside of Clegg are Kulik, Rozan, and Rusek now, obviously.
Rusek, yeah.
By the way, for all of it, which is to say Rusek not getting called up this year, who knows what his future holds? Mm-hmm. So he'll need a contract after this season. Like the last 4 years in Rochester, he's been so good, especially in the playoffs. He has 23 points in his last 23 playoff games. He has 29 in his 33 total playoff games.
Yeah.
Like this is kind of what we were focusing on a little bit on Friday. Like, you need your AHL veterans to match up against Laval's A, and that's exactly what happened. Yes, the kids are doing it, but it was a better game, awesome game from Lucas Rusek, who kind of falls in that tweener mode here.
Rusek needs to be a leader with this team, and obviously it's not just on him. And we talked about the veteran of the Brett Murray, right? And mm-hmm. Mason Yops, and the veterans have to be playing that veteran mature game. And mm-hmm. your skills, when it comes to your prospect, have to shine. Like Roseanne and Kulik and those guys have to shine. Auslan, just like Mayu and Reinbacher got on the board in game one for Laval, which puts them over the top. The biggest thing for me is after game one, Coach Leone was really upset with turnovers, with puck management, with the way that they played, right? Mm-hmm. And he's like, we cannot play that way. And it was turnovers and turnovers and turnovers. They only gave up 19 shots to Laval in the game. They played much better defensively. And despite the fact that it was 3-3 after two periods, I mean, the shots, you'd given up 13 shots in the game and you're tied 3-3. I think as a team, it felt like a much better overall game. And the coach was pretty, and he's been like that all year. Mm-hmm. He doesn't hold back when he sees something that's bad, even in the win, which was the win at Cleveland earlier this year, that they're like, he was upset with the win because they didn't really play well. They scored like certain goals in the game.
Yeah, it was a home ice one. It was like 7-3, 7-4, but it just felt like Cleveland was going to keep coming back on them. Yeah.
He hated the way that the game went, and he basically was not happy after the game. I felt like after game one, he was very critical. Mm-hmm. But they hadn't played in 2 weeks, and I thought maybe that's a pass, right? He's going to give him a pass. They haven't played in 2 weeks. It's game one. No, he didn't give him a pass, and they really responded in game two. I thought that was exactly what we wanted to see from the Rochester Americans in that game.
One of those lines that I was mentioning with the Auslan was on was actually Wahlberg with Hellenius, which is worth mentioning
too, right?
Because Konsta is still among the Amherst leading scorers. So it was just really interesting to see, okay, we're going to get Noah out here with veteran guys and then younger guys. And of course, having started the game with their best players, I just think it needs, based on how we ended the year and talking about, you know, Auslan and what's next, and now we can do so with Hellenius as well, not to mention the always talked about prospects. I just thought it was it's one game. Now it's off to Laval, where they've played really, really well this season. And it was a dominant game as far as shots for and against. By the way, tip of the cap to former Amherst and former Sabre, now a member of the Charlotte Checkers, Rasmus Asplund. What?
Oh, yeah.
What a weekend. Okay, so they're already up one game to none on Hershey. Mm-hmm. Asplund scores in the third period to tie it. He scores the overtime winner to put them up two games to none. And then, posting about 3 hours ago the birth of their first baby boy, and it's a heck of a weekend for Rasmus Asplund. So congrats to the Asplunds on everything that's happening in their life.
When I saw the post on social media about his goal in overtime and him tying it late and all of that, I didn't even know about the personal side of it. And so then I got to read a little bit more, and they talked about, you know, everything else that's going on. So, wow, what a weekend.
Because if Rochester advances, they would play Charlotte.
They would play Charlotte.
If Charlotte can put away the two-time defending champions, and Charlotte is up two games to none as the series resumes in Hershey on Wednesday.
Yeah, and Hershey is never an out. And we saw that last year, when they they ended up playing, a game seven, and Coachella was all the way back on the East Coast because they thought they weren't, and then they had, the whole thing. So, this would be fun. And Asplund, I'm happy for him. Look, it's a player that had this time in Buffalo. It just didn't work out the same way, moved on, but now is finding some success in the AHL, and a successful all-around weekend for him, that's for sure.
And what's noteworthy here, because Carolina has moved on and will face Florida, Charlotte is cut the exact same way as the parent club. Right now, the Checkers are outshooting their opponents 30-22 in the postseason. That's an 8-shot differential. Carolina leads the NHL with a 9-shot differential. The Checkers have allowed 45 shots in the last 3 games. Yeah. They are so tight and hard to play against, which is why the defending champs are in the 0-2 hole right now. They didn't even get to 20 shots in either of the first 2 games, both losses.
Yeah, and look, I mean, when you give up 15 shots on average, you're going to win games. You know, and that's the thing. That's why I think Rochester did a great job giving up 19 shots to Laval. Now, carry that game on to game 3, frustrate Laval, neutralize them. I think Levi still has another gear to go. It was fine, but there was moments in the game, Duffer, I know, his little 360 going back into the post in the second period was one that I was like, I don't ever want to see that again. I don't ever want to see him going back to his post while doing my Trey White Goalie Academy video where I'm spinning in the crease. Like, no, don't want to do that. So I think there's another gear for Levi, but when the team gives up 19, it's good. And when Charlotte gives up 15 on average, it's definitely a challenge for the other team.
So Amherst and Laval, along with the 3 other remaining AHL series, resume on Wednesday. Florida and Carolina gets going in the Eastern Conference Final tomorrow after Florida dusted off the Maple Leafs, which we'll get to last night. Do you vividly remember the Panthers' sweep of the Hurricanes just 2 springs ago? A 4-game. Do you remember? I don't think you do. And I didn't either. Shame on me. Like, not vividly.
I don't remember it vividly, but is that where Freddie Anderson got hurt and I think they didn't have him available in that series 2 years ago?
Not about the goaltending. It's all about Matthew Tkachuk. Oh. In game 1, Matthew scores with 13 seconds left in the 4th overtime as Florida wins 4-3. The next game, Tkachuk scores just a minute into overtime, exits the side door, and they win 2-1. They go home, Reinhardt from Tkachuk, only goal of the game. Florida wins 1-0. Yeah. Last game of the series, the 4-game sweep, Tkachuk scores with 5 seconds left in regulation. Florida wins 4-3. The sweep is done. Carolina, holy cow. You couldn't have played 4 tighter, more competitive games, and you got swept by an eventual finalist who would the following year become eventual champion.
That was Rod Brind'Amour's quote after the series. Like we played good. Like we were good. Like this is a sweep, but it's not a sweep. Remember when he said that? Like we got swept, but we didn't get swept. And we're like, well, Rod the Bod, 4 games, you got swept. No, we didn't get swept. We didn't, because you're right. Like overtime, 1-0 and late in the game. And as you're saying it now, I remember vividly how that all went down. Yeah. I think it's going to be a fantastic series.
I do too.
I think you're getting, you know, Vezina Bob, Sergei Bobrovsky, who has looked really good in the last few games there leading into the conference final, and the best goalie in the playoffs this year, Freddie Anderson. Mm-hmm. So this is going to be a low-scoring series, in my opinion, again. But yes, before Florida got their ticket to go to the conference finals, they had to beat the Leafs in Game 7 in Toronto after losing Friday night, a very tight game, a 2-0 game in Florida, game 6. Mm. But man, get a feel for the Leafs and their fans. They lose 6-1 at home. Why? In game 5 just to see.
Why? Who would feel for them and their fans?
Well, because you lost 6-1 at home in game 5. You're thinking, we are a disaster. There's no way we're going to go and win in Florida. They win in Florida, so everybody's excited. This was a holiday weekend in Canada. Everybody was kind of, okay, let's go to the cottage and let's take the weekend to not think hockey. And then Friday night, the Leafs win. So now everybody's on the Leafs are going to win it in game 7, and then they lose 6-1 in that one as well. So they lose 12-2 in the last 2 home games, game 5 and game 7 in the playoffs.
I think you've been gone from Canada too long to remember what it's actually like. Like, the Victoria Day long weekend is not go to the cottage and forget about hockey. It's go to the cottage and watch hockey. Like, it's the Stanley Cup playoffs in Canada. Nobody's turning off just because there's maybe fireworks at the end of the weekend.
No, but I'm saying, like, so let's say you are going to cottage, and but you now you're like, ah, I got to go back in the city Sunday. I got to go to the Leafs game or whatever, or my buddies are getting together. It just made you feel like, oh, I thought I was done with the Leafs. They lost 6-1 at home on game 5. I'm done with them. They win game 6 just to have the same type of game in game 7. I'm looking at Craig Berube, and I really like Craig Berube. He was my assistant coach in Philly when I was traded there. I think he's a really good coach. He was trying to get those guys fired up in the second period. They had a terrible start to the game. Shot attempts suffered were 21-0, 6.5 minutes into the game for Florida. Like, and then Toronto got back late in the first. You get a Lawton breakaway, a Lorenz breakaway, you get a Pacioretty chance. Like, you're like, oh, the Leafs have put the bad start behind them. They're going to get back into it. Just to see the start of the second period, they were outshot 13-1. When there was 7 minutes left and it was 3-0. 3-0, outshot 13-1 at the start of the second. And now Berube's trying to fire them up on the bench. It's not happening. Their core guys didn't really show up. After the game, you got Mathewson. We had too many passengers. Like, it's just, it was very, very troubling to see it happening as it unfolded in game 7.
Well,
troubling if you're a Leafs fan, kind of good if you're a Sabres fan and want to see the Leafs go down in flames.
What's the bigger, I mean, it doesn't really matter because a 7-game loss is a 7-game loss, but what's the bigger story here? The fact that they were up 2-0 and this happened, the fact that you just said Florida's up against the best goalie in the playoffs. I would beg to differ. I think Bob now clearly is. He allowed 4 goals in the last 4 games as the Panthers won 3 of those 4. You know, quickly on the Leafs, because no sense really talking about it anymore, because that's what the whole summer is going to be based on, every team's roster manipulation, yes, reconfigurations. But, like, from the Toronto standpoint, is it how did they blow a 2-0 series lead? How did they replicate game 5 in game 7 after having the game 6 that they had? Like, what's the big thing here?
I think the big thing for me is, how do you come out in game 7 after having just played one of your worst games in the playoffs in game 5 and do the exact same thing? Mm-hmm. When you saw how they gave up 2 shots on goal in game 6 in the first period to Florida, like, they shut them down. Mm-hmm. How do you go into game 7 and can't get the puck out of your zone? Can't handled the pressure. Like, Seth Jones was fantastic. What a game.
Oh, by the way, is he this year's Radko Gudas?
I don't know if he's this year. Oh, the Leafs killer, you mean?
This is an audio component only. You remember the scream by Gudas in the face of Wall and the overtime winner?
The snow shower, the scream in his face.
Did you hear the audio and combined with the silence of the arena when Seth Jones scored the opening goal? Oh, like, it's big.
I didn't
it's
hear the
loud,
audio.
It's individual. It's, oh, this is bringing back memories of what happened the last time they met.
Well, yes, maybe he's this year's Radko Gudas, but he's a bigger impact than Radko Gudas, obviously,
in
the
game. Turned out to be a good trade, huh?
Oh, What an acquisition, the Florida Panthers getting Seth Jones, maybe not just for now, but for the future, not knowing what Aaron Ekblad is going to be doing. Mm. But, okay, so the biggest issue for me is twofold. One is, how do you repeat game 5 at home in game 7 after locking it down in game 6? Like, it was, you had the blueprint. You lost it. You left it in Florida. You didn't bring it with you to Toronto. You lost it. That's one. Two is, we're not talking about it a lot, and I get it. It's not on Joe Woll. But they went to 7 games with Joe Woll being average in game 3, being average in game 5 and 7, but it wasn't on him. Now, if Anthony Stolarz stays healthy, doesn't take the shot to the face, and doesn't take the bump from Sam Bennett, is this a different story?
Maybe,
and now, if you're Brett Treliving and Brandon Shanahan, and you have to look at your roster, maybe you're thinking, with Anthony Stolarz, Matthews, Marner, Nylander, Tavares, we're okay. We probably move on. But we didn't have Stolarz. Like, I don't think the Leafs are going to do that. I think they're going to make some changes. Mm-hmm. And I would make some changes. But maybe that's their one out, knowing that they didn't have their number one goaltender. Sure. But nobody wants to hear it.
And Stolarz is not a goalie that has played 60 games a year for 10 years.
He's not Connor Hellebuck, and saying you're missing Connor Hellebuck. Yes. Right.
So, and it's, in my opinion, no different. And because of how Wall played and has shown before, I think the bigger drop-off in losing a goalie in these playoffs was Montembeau against the Capitals.
Yes.
So, like, that's just my take on all of it. So, the Leafs can get in line if they want to play that chip as to why they didn't advance here in the playoffs.
And Montreal probably could have gone to 6 and 7 games with Montembeau in net.
100%.
Because, you know, both goalies got hurt in game three. It was Lindgren and Montembeau, but Thompson. And Thompson came back and was really good just to see if Freddie Anderson would be better than him.
It's going to be Stolarz and Wall next year. Like, why wouldn't it be? Right?
It's going to be Toronto. Yes. It's going to be 100%. Stolarz and Wall.
Like, they elevated. They put themselves in a great position compared to where they've been in the past.
They're under contract for next year.
But that doesn't mean you couldn't move if you have concerns about injuries or whatever. I'm just saying, like,
they're paying $7 million for two goalies.
They may
go
into it, not unlike what Washington did this year, where they probably know who's going to be number one. Anyway, it's the least of my concerns if I'm the Toronto Maple Leafs. That's all.
No, it's the least of my concern. And now the concern is Marner, Tavares, Matthew Nyes as a restricted free agent. Those are the three concerns moving forward. What do you do with all of them? That's two unrestricted free agent that we'll talk about in Marner and Tavares. I really don't believe Tavares will ever be available to go anywhere else. He's in Toronto, probably going to stay in Toronto for very little money. It's not going to be a problem. Unless Toronto said, we're not even giving you $2, $3 million a year. Mm-hmm. We're going in a different direction. I don't think Marner's coming back. I think that they're going to let, I think Marner goes. The only way Marner comes back is if you're trading Nylander or Matthews. Like, you have to change your core, and you cannot redo.
Well, what would you do?
I said it. I know Nylander had a fantastic year this year, but okay. So here's what's on the table for Brett Treliving. You can lose Marner to UFA and not get anything back in return. So that's one. You can lose Tavares, not get anything back in return. You can explore a Nylander trade or a Matthews trade and get a lot back in return, but they both have no movement clause. So you have to not only get a partner that wants to make a trade and give you a boatload for, but those players have to agree to the trade.
If you don't think they would, either one of them?
Which one would say yes first?
Both.
Both? I think Matthews would probably say yes first.
I agree.
I think Matthews would say, I'll go.
I think Matthews would be first. It's a shame there's no team in Arizona.
No, it is a shame. And look, Marner doesn't want to go anywhere else. He vetoed a trade to Carolina in the Rantanen deal, right? Rantanen was there and they thought
was because he wanted to run it out here with the Leafs.
He did, but I also think he probably... So if you're Toronto and you say, well, let's sign Mitch to $13 million a year, long-term deal, and trade either Nylander or Marner or Matthews... I can see that happening. But if you're not going to move on from Nylander or Matthews, Marner's not coming back. You cannot bring everybody back and roll it back out there again. It's just not possible.
Let's say, I can't do this. What would a Matthews haul look like?
Oh, it depends on the team. But,
But you're three bona fide really good NHLers, plus whatever the picks and all that nonsense is?
I'm going to say two bona fide NHLer and probably the combination of 2 to 3 first-round picks or first-round high-end prospect. Mm-hmm. I'm saying this is a massive, massive return if you're going to do it. I'm not going to.
If it was Buffalo, what would it look like?
If it was Buffalo right now, it would look like J.J. Paterka, Bo Byram or Owen Power, one of the two.
More.
Potentially Jack Quinn and 2 first-rounder.
I don't think Toronto's happy about that.
because of the Jack Quinn component?
No, I just don't think it's enough. That's where I'm at in all of this.
It's a Eric Lindros to the Quebec, to the
Correct.
Flyers type deal.
100%.
Where you have Forsberg and Duchesne and Ekstall, and you have and $10 million on top and first rounders. That's what the trade for Matthews would look like. Nylander, not as much, but Matthews, 100%.
It's interesting, right?
It's crazy.
You didn't think I was going to ask.
Yeah. And look, would you do it? And you say the Leafs probably would say no. But if you're the Sabres, would you trade Peterka, Byram, Quinn, and two first-rounder
yes,
for Matthews?
I would.
That's...
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need. This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters, and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
MLB.TV is home to baseball's biggest stars. Watch every out-of-market game, live or on demand. Plus, you'll get 24/7 access to MLB Network. Stream every big pitch.
He struck him out!
Every home run.
Gone!
Everything baseball. All season long on MLB.TV. Start a free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Okay, how about this? What if, and maybe it's Peterka, Byram, Kulik, and two first rounder, because that would open up a center spot. Then you'd have Norris and Matthews at center.
No, the deal's off the table.
Because it's Kulik?
This is like, I love all the guys involved here. That's the thing. Like, this is like, not me, like, oh, they need to move on. No, this is fantasy stuff here. Like, I love
this is big time fantasy.
About what other teams, all teams, would be thinking in the wake of what happened to Toronto again. That's all. That's all this is. This is like, okay, what is your team doing today to look at that team and look at potential changes in the marketplace as we get closer to the month of June?
I feel like I need to know if Austin Matthews was injured and what would have been the injury and how did it affect him this year and what it was, because going from 69 goals to the season that he had this year, there had to have been a big issue. And if there's not a big issue, then I'm like, oh, there's a big question mark there. But okay, would you rather have Matthews in a big blockbuster trade? You're trading 5-6 pieces to make it happen, or go out and give Mitch Marner $13 million on July 1 as a free agent?
It wasn't $13 million, but it feels like Ticketmaster got a lot of my money this weekend, and that includes money for the Bandits this Saturday, 4:30 p.m. It's game 3, and I can't wait to be there. It's going to be awesome. It's bandits.com/tickets because Saskatchewan rebounded last night in game 2. The Bandits won the opener here in Banditland on Friday, 12-10. They were so close last night. They end up falling 11-10. This is a phenomenal clash of two incredible organizations and all-world talent. Again, Saturday, third and deciding game, 4:30 p.m. in Banditland, bandits.com/tickets. Tickets went on sale at 10 a.m. this morning. We're back after this on Sabres Live.
We're back with more of Sabres Live, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Again, Amherst are going to pick up their series in Laval on Wednesday. It's tied at 1. The Bandits are in their NLL Finals, tied at 1. Banditland, third and deciding game, Saturday afternoon at 4:30. More Bandits talk coming up, but we're going to try and cram in as much more hockey talk as we can. Impossible to put into context all of the emotions at the end of Dallas and Winnipeg. This series gave as expected, and the Stars emerged in overtime. In game 6, again, Marty, I don't want to muddy the waters here. Just give me everything you're thinking about the entirety of the series and what we witnessed in game 6.
So I wanted Dallas to win it in 6 because I picked Dallas in 6. But when we wake up Saturday morning and we hear Kevin Cheveldayoff talk to the media and saying, and it was weird that the GM was going to talk to the media, and he comes out and he says, you know, I've got some bad news to announce, and I don't know where that's going to go. And he says, unfortunately, unexpectedly, overnight, Brad Scheifele, Mark Scheifele's dad, has passed away. Brad's not here this morning, and Coach Scott Arneil is going to go back to the hotel and talk to Mark and see what, but we don't have an idea of what's going to happen tonight. And Mark Scheifele did say he wanted to play, talk to his family. He played, scored the first goal, made it 1-0 for the Winnipeg Jets. It was unreal. Like, oh my gosh, hockey, it's much more than a sports. It's life. It's the heart. It's the people you get to know. And when Scheifele scored, the smile on his face, it was like, oh, it just would melt you. And then, look, Sam Steele scores, make it 1-1. And, you know, it's a great game. It's a great hockey game. It's back and forth. Connor Hellebuck, Jake Oettinger, it's great. And then, with less than 30 seconds left, Mark Scheifele takes down Sam Steele on a breakaway. Could have been a penalty shot, but okay, it's a tripping penalty. They go to OT. Nobody in the world, I think, wanted Dallas to score on the Mark Scheifele penalty. Everybody wanted kill it off, and then let's go back, right? And then, obviously, Thomas Harley scores. It's a game of hockey. You got to do what you got to do. Dallas scores. They win. Heartbreaking for Scheifele, for his family, for the Jets. But more importantly, I mean, you lose your father unexpectedly like that. I felt bad and emotional about it. The Mason Marchment hug to Scheifele in the handshake line, like, it was Brian Marchment who passed away in Montreal during the draft. We were there, Duffer. We woke up in the morning and the news was like, Brian Marchment passed away overnight, unexpectedly. And Mason Marchment, his son, was in the league, and he gave him a hug after. Like, it was heartbreaking. So we're all for the Scheifele family and the Jets family, but Dallas in the end was the better team. I'll say this. Dallas was the better team, and they deserve to move on.
But Winnipeg is in a pretty good place, even though as President's Trophy winners, they didn't win. I think for all the, and I say all, and most of the time it was just one storyline that people wanted to beat down over the course of the first two rounds, and that was Hellebuck. I think Winnipeg
was fine. He was good in round two.
Exactly. Though, Marty, they still were roasting him, like, because of the goals against. And it's like, it's not even a thing for me. All I'm saying is I think the Winnipeg Jets are in a better place going into next year than they were going into this year. I think they are going to be outstanding once again.
Well, I mean, they're going to need a big year from Cole Perfetti, from Vladdy Namestnikov. They may not have Nick Ehlers back. They may not have Mason Appleton back. Appleton, Lowry, and Niederreiter was that identity energy line that they had. And Nick Ehlers is a fantastic hockey player, but he's a UFA. So, you know, we talk about Marner, we talk about Tavares, we'll probably talk about Marchand and Bennett and Ekblad, but we got to talk about Nick Ehlers as well. Those are UFAs that the Sabres could be in on July 1 if they get to it. Mm-hmm. Ehlers is going to be a big hole to fill. But Perfetti can step it up. There's other guys that can step up in that role. Arfalo played well when he was elevated in the lineup. He's played on top lines in LA, and he could be elevated as well.
Yeah, and if they're healthy on the blue line, I think they're that much better. Josh Morrissey clearly wasn't. So people need to, if you're going to focus anywhere in these playoffs and try to say, well, if this guy was, give me 100% Josh Morrissey at his best, and this series, I think, has a much greater chance going Winnipeg's way. So this is all
part of. He wouldn't have played
a
game seven, and he probably wouldn't have been part of the start of the conference finals. Like Scott O'Neill said, it wasn't good. It's not good. No. And it looked like not good. Like it looked like a knee, a torn ligament of some sort when he got out. It was going to take a while.
So tough one for Katy Perry. Her show gets bumped in Dallas because the Edmonton Stars series begins on Wednesday when she was supposed to play. So this is the second time in less than 2 weeks that Katy has been bumped from a show. It was same conflict last week when OKC took on Denver in the NBA.
No way.
Yes, so there's some rescheduling going on in Katie's world, but this series is going to be a rematch of Edmonton and Dallas that somehow the Stars lost last year, despite giving up 10 shots on goal in game six. They lost 2-1. So who wins this time around?
Dallas is going to win this time around.
Edmonton.
I have Dallas in six. I think the Oilers have found some depth. They've got, you know, the Evander Kane and Corey Perry and Connor Brown and Podkolzin and now Kasperi Kapanen scoring a goal. And look, McDavid and Draisaitl are fantastic. They may get Matthias Ekholm back. But Dallas, to me, Dallas beat Winnipeg without getting much from Tyler Seguin, Matt Duchene, Jamie Benn, Jason Robertson.
Because of goaltending. So people need to park the whole Hellebuck thing. Winnipeg's goaltending was excellent. That's why all these big stars were held off the score sheet.
Connor Hellebuck was good, yes. But I'm just saying, Dallas is a really good team. And if their depth comes through a little bit more, I think this is... I wanted to say Dallas in five. Be honest with you, I wanted to say Dallas in five, and I said Dallas in six.
Who are they playing in the final then?
Do you want my sneaky Eastern Conference pick? Carolina in seven.
It's not so sneaky. Carolina's really good. So yeah, there are no Carolina wrong answers here, dude.
I'm going Carolina and Dallas in the Stanley Cup final, which is two teams that Buffalo would not be able to cheer for because of the Dallas 99 finals and the 06 Carolina Conference finals. But I think it's going to be Carolina-Dallas.
I think it's going to be Edmonton, and I don't know who they're going to be playing. It's either going to be a final rematch of last year, or it's going to be a final rematch of 2006, both of which Edmonton emerged on the wrong side. I don't know. Yeah. Give me another day before the series begins tomorrow in Carolina.
You still didn't answer my question before the break.
What?
Matthews, with all the pieces that I said we could trade for, or Marner as a UFA?
For Buffalo?
Yeah.
Oh, well, obviously UFA. I mean, why
UFA,
would you? Yeah.
Well, I mean, some people are going to say, look, Austin Matthews is, you know, a 50, 60 goal scorer, center. Like, you could go Norris, Matthews, right, and have Thompson on one line and Matthews on the other, mm-hmm, a lefty Matthews, a righty Thompson on the power play. There's a lot that could go that way too, that you say, oh, let's run with it. Let's be, yeah, let's go,
well,
crazy.
What do you say?
Yeah, I'm saying Marner UFA would probably be the wiser choice too, but it's still interesting.
Well, I'd like to meet someone named John Tavares who had a good Sunday, because at this point it was not kind to either of JT's yesterday with what happened with the Leafs and obviously with what happened with the Bandits. But the Bandits, John Tavares, has a great opportunity in front of him to coach to another championship win for Buffalo on Saturday afternoon when Saskatchewan comes to town. We'll break on that note, come back with a little sample of how that unfolded this weekend, the 1-1 series final right now between the Rush and the Bandits. This is Sabres Live. Stay with us.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need. This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Do you believe you are wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Baseball's all about the games, and the best in daily gaming is on the MLB app, where every day starts with new puzzles and challenges. Test your skills with MLB Pickle, the ultimate mystery player challenge, and Immaculate Grid, where stats and strategy collide. Or chase the $5.6 million jackpot and beat the streak, presented by BetMGM. And for an all-new spin on fantasy sports, there's Spinball, the game's official home for games, is on the MLB app. MLB trademarks used with permission. No purchase necessary. Restrictions apply. For official rules, go to MLB.com/play/official rules.
We're back with more of Sabres Live, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
No hockey tonight. Conference finals begin tomorrow in Carolina as the Panthers are there to take on the Canes. And then it's Edmonton and Dallas on Wednesday. So, Marty, we have a chance to relive what happened in Banditland on Friday before Sunday's unfortunate narrow loss. But actually, Friday was a great sports night to watch simultaneously Amherst and Bandits. Mm-hmm. And this was, they ended up being almost identical games. These first two games of the NLL Finals, Bandits found themselves in an early hole, roared back, had great balance in their scoring throughout the roster, and Matt Vince, as you would expect, was sensational. But in the game on Friday, when they won 12-10, not unlike the Rush last night, there was a Bandits run at the end of the third quarter. They scored three in a row to take the lead. There was no scoring in the fourth quarter until 12 seconds to go, and Kyle Buchanan scores on an empty net tip.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable.
Never seen in my life in the history of lacrosse. Dane Smith, behind his own net, heaves it low down the floor, only to have Buchanan redirect it into the empty net.
Perfect tip, too. And you think, like, with the, you know, in lacrosse, it can get cut in your, like, you know, in the web of your stick, the whole thing. Like, he just got a little plastic piece on it and redirected it perfectly into the goal, which was probably the most exciting highlight, like, empty net goal you'll see. Although, in lacrosse, empty net goals are not easy. Like in hockey, the puck lays on the ice and that's it, right? But in lacrosse, it's bouncing. It could take spins whichever way. So they're not easy. And that sealed the deal for the Bandits to win game one. Look, both goalies have been fantastic in both games. I feel like that is a goalie battle. You know, the reigning goalie of the year with Saskatchewan. And obviously, Matt Vince has been great. So I think game three is going to be tight. Like, when I think of the way that those two teams are going to play, wouldn't be surprised if it's a one-goal game, going late into the game, pull goalie situation. That's what we saw in game one. That's what we saw in game two as well.
I'm hoping it's more reminiscent of 2023 when the Bandits won the opener at home, lost in Colorado, came home and routed the Mammoth 13-4 in game three. So we'll see.
It was a party in Bandit land for that one.
Yes, I'm looking forward to that. Again, tickets are on sale now. And game three happens Saturday afternoon. Note the start time, 4:30 p.m. All right. Yes. How are you finishing day one of this brand new week?
Okay, well, we go into the conference finals, and we talked about Dallas and the Edmonton Oilers. Matthias Ekholm is on the ice right now, full go at practice. The Oilers, that's going to be a big add, right? The Oilers were doing all right with Troy Stetcher and John Klingberg, but Matthias Ekholm becomes their number one defenseman, guy that's going to play the most minutes. So that's a big add when you look at the depth for the Edmonton Oilers. Dallas, to me, they're a well-oiled machine. And if it goes through game seven, well, we all know Pete DeBoer and his record in game seven. So probably will go Dallas's way. I feel like this is a quick turnaround for Florida. Played last night in Toronto. They play tomorrow night in Carolina. So no rest for the Florida Panthers. May go in their way because they're, you know, just keep on playing. What Carolina has been off for the better part last week.
Do you know the four participants in this year's Memorial Cup?
We don't know the Quebec team yet. They play this afternoon for game six. Oh, no, actually, we know both of them. They're hosting. Sorry.
Full details tomorrow on Sabres Live.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great, but it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Baseball's all about the games, and the best in daily gaming is on the MLB app, where every day starts with new puzzles and challenges. Test your skills with MLB Pickle, the ultimate mystery player challenge, and Immaculate Grid, where stats and strategy collide. Or chase the $5.6 million jackpot and beat the streak, presented by BetMGM. And for an all-new spin on fantasy sports, there's Spinball. The game's official home for games is on the MLB app. MLB trademarks used with permission. No purchase necessary. Restrictions apply. For official rules, go to MLB.com/play/official rules.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Knicks Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Knicks, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Knicks Menswear, your friend in style.